Saturday afternoon, and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, every Saturday afternoon is yarn-spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the fans gather as guests of the Dean of the American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice has covered all the big sporting events of the past 30 years and has made a hobby, too, of collecting good stories about sports. You're all invited to these sessions of the Hot Stove League, so come along now as we meet the fans and Grantland Rice.
Sorry, I can't see it. Look, I'll take the Nationals anytime with Mel Ott and Medwick and Dixie Walker and Mickey Owen. It'll be a pushover. Yeah, even McCarthy isn't so happy with the American League lineup.
Just the same, he's still a mastermind.
Hiya, Granny.
Hey, there's Grant and Rice now.
Hiya, Granny.
Yeah, let's ask him. Say, Granny, what do you think about the Nationals this season?
What's the trouble, fellas? I heard you mention McCarthy.
Well, we were just talking about the All-Star game, Granny. Got any inside dope on that?
Yeah, how about that, Granny?
Well, I've got a little. I'll tell you, I think it'll be a thriller. You know, everybody knows the Cardinals are the best team in baseball.
That's right.
And they're on the side of the National League. In addition to that, there's Mel Ott and there's Bucky Walters and Dixie Walker. But don't forget this, that those All-Star games are generally settled by good pitching. And don't forget Hank Baroy and Tech Houston pitching for the American League. And a fellow named Bobby Doyle in their hitting. So with those fellows, I'm going to give the American League an even shot.
Well, anyway, what's the yarn today, Granny?
Well, today I've got a baseball story for you. One of Ring Lardner's best satires called My Roomie.
Let's hear it, Granny.
Yeah.
Well, this is the story of a rookie baseball player who went by the name of Elliot, whom nobody wanted for a roommate. And the reason they didn't want him was because of the things he did at night, which gave whoever stayed with him the insomnia. Chuck was Elliot's last roomie, and he stood him longer than anybody in the club. So Chuck can give you the real lowdown on this story.
Well, you know I didn't hit much the last 2 months of the season. Some of the boys I noticed wrote some stuff about me getting old and losing my batting eye. And it's all the bunk. The reason I didn't hit was because I wasn't getting enough sleep. And the reason for that was Mr. Elliot. The first time I hear about Elliot was when Heine and me walks out to the grounds together, and Heine tells me,
"Don't never call me a bug again. They got me rooming with the champion of the world."
Yeah? Who is he?
I don't know, and I don't want to know. But if they stick him in there with me again, I'll jump to the Federals.
Well, what's the matter with him, Heine?
What ain't the matter with him? To start with, he ain't got no baggage. I asked him where his trunk was, and he says he didn't have none. Then I asked him if he didn't have no suitcase, and he says, "No, what do you care? I was going to lend him my pajamas, but he put on the shirt of his uniform and slept in that."
Well, what do you know?
That ain't all. He was asleep when I got up this morning. I seen his collar laying on the dresser, and it looked like he had wore it in Pittsburgh every day of the year. So I throw it out the window, and he comes down to breakfast with no collar.
No kidding.
Sure. So I asked him what size collar he wore, and he says, he don't want one because he wasn't going out nowheres.
Well, can you beat that?
And after breakfast, he beats it up to the room again and put on his uniform. When I got up there, he was looking in a glass at himself. And he done it all the time I was dressing.
A regular nut, huh? Say, where do we pick him up?
I don't know. Supposed to be a great hitter. He came in last night and they put him in my room. But boy, you can have him. Hey, look, that's him now.
Where at?
Talking to John.
Oh.
Just watch him and see what I mean. Just listen to him talk.
That's what I want to know. What position do you play, Elliot?
I play anywheres.
Is that so? Well, then why don't you go after them fly balls?
Because I don't want them.
No? What do you want? Of course, we'll see that you get anything you want. You just ask for it.
Give me a ticket back home.
Oh, now look here, boy. Don't you want to stick with the club?
No, I guess not.
Okay, that's the way you feel about it. But you'll have to pay your own fare home.
Oh. Well, I'll have to stick then, because I'm broke. Well, you can see what we had to put up with. John sent him out to the outfield again in the afternoon, and after a lot of coaxing, got him to go after a couple of fly balls. But that's all he did, just go after them. He catched just one, a line drive that he couldn't get out of the way of. And then he acted like it hurt his hands. I come back to the hotel with John, and he asked me what I thought of Elliot.
You've seen him play today, Chuck. What do you think?
Well, he'd be the greatest ball player in the world if he could just play ball. He sure can bust them.
Yeah. I guess I won't be able to make no outfield out of him.
Hey, look, why don't you try him on the infield? There must be some place he can play.
Yeah, maybe I will. Never seen a left-hand hitter that looks so good against left-hand pitching. He's got a great arm. But he acts like he never seen a fly ball.
Maybe they never hit him where he comes from.
Yeah. Well, I'll try him on the infield tomorrow and see what happens.
Yep, he was just as bad in the infield. They put him in at short, and he was like a sieve. You could have drove a hearse between him and second base without him getting near it. Finally, John just gave up and says he'd have to keep him on a bench and let him earn his pay, busting him a couple of times a week. You know, before the training trip was over, Elliot had roomed with pretty near everybody in the club. Heine raised an awful holler after the second night.
I don't want that nut with me for another night. If he stays with me tonight, I'll jump to the Federals.
So John put the bug in with Needham. Tom stood him for three nights.
I don't want him no more. Take him away.
Then he doubled up with Archer.
You better get him out of my room.
And Schulte.
I don't want him with me.
And Miller.
Get him away from me or I'll go nuts too.
And Leach. Well, you know he just wouldn't room with that guy for $1,000 a week. So then John tried him with some of the youngsters. But they wouldn't stand for him no more than the others.
He's crazy. He's liable to get violent some night and stick a knife into me. No, sir. I don't want him sleeping in my room.
That goes for me, too. I'm a wreck already, and I'd already had him for two nights.
I want to play baseball, but I don't want to ruin my health doing it.
And then I begin hearing stories about Elliot.
You know what he always does? He insists on having the water run in the bathtub all night because he says it reminds him of the sound of a dam near his home. I got up four or five times a night to shut off the faucet, but he'd get right up after me and turn it on again.
He brought a razor with him, in his pocket, I guess. He does his shaving in the middle of the night. Instead of doing it in the bathroom, he lathers his face and then goes out and stands in front of the looking glass on the dresser.
Yeah, and he had all the lights turned on, and he stopped shaving every little while and turns around and stares at you. Then he waves his razor around in the air and laughs and begins shaving again.
Boy, he sure is a scream.
I wonder where John's going to put him now.
Well, maybe if you get him a place in the zoo. Put him on exhibition.
Well, I started to tell you the reason I didn't hit last season. I got into my slump when we got the Cincy to open, and John come over to me and asked me,
"How'd you like to change roomies, Chuck?"
"What for, John? I'm perfectly satisfied with Larry. We get along fine. Been rooming together for 2 years."
"Just the same, Chuck. I wish you'd try Elliot."
"Oh, that guy. Hey, now wait a minute, John. You can't..."
"As a favor to me, Chuck. The other guys are all kicking about him, but he seems to hang around you a lot, and I believe you could get along with him."
"Well, I don't know about that, John. You're asking for an awful lot. Why don't you room him alone?"
"You know the boss of the hotels won't stand for rooming alone. You go ahead and try it, Chuck, and see how you make out. If he's too much for you, let me know. But he likes you, and I think he'll be different with a guy who can talk to him like you can. How about it, Chuck? As a favor to me."
"Well, all right, John, I'll tackle it. But only for you and for no other reason."
"Attaboy, Chuck. I knew I could count on you. You're sure taking a load off my mind."
"Well, you're not taking one off mine." So, there I was, stuck with the bug. Well, I decided that as long as he was going to be my roomie, I was going to try and break him of some of his bad habits. I was going to play crazy, too, and beat him to a draw. When I went to the room that night, the first thing I'd done when I got undressed was turn on both faucets in the bathtub. Then I got into bed and waited for Elliot. The running water from the faucets was making a racket when the bug finally come in about midnight.
Hey, what's the idea of running that water?
Don't shut off that water, because I like to hear it run.
Huh?
You heard me, Elliot. That's the way I always sleep, with the water running.
Well, I guess no one's going to tell me what to do in here.
And with that, he goes to the bathroom and shuts off the water. Well, I pretend to be asleep and pay no attention. But when he'd gotten into his bed, I jumped out of mine, turned on all the lights, and began stropping my razor.
Hey, what's coming off?
Some of my whiskers, Elliot. I always shave along about this time.
Oh, no, you don't. I was in your room one morning down in Louisville, and I seen you shaving then.
Well, the boys tell me you shave in the middle of the night, and I thought, if I'd done all the things you do, maybe I'd get me so's I could hit like you.
You must be superstitious.
Yeah, I guess I am.
I'm a good hitter, and I'd be a good hitter if I never shaved at all. That don't make no difference.
Oh, yes, it does. You probably hit good because you shave at night. But you'd be a better fielder if you shave in the morning.
Yeah?
Sure, you can take it from me.
Well, if that's right, I'll do my shaving in the morning, because I seen in the papers where the boys say that if I could play the outfield like I can hit, I'd be as good as Cobb. They tell me Cobb got $20,000 a year, huh?
Oh, no, he never got that much, but he got about 10 times as much as you do.
Well, I'm going to be as good as him because I need the money.
Yeah, what do you want with money?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
From that time on, the water didn't run in the bathtub nights, and he'd done his shaving after breakfast. I didn't notice, though, that he looked any better in fielding practice. And a couple of days later was the first time he struck out. We needed 2 runs on the 8th when a bug whiffed. He come back to the bench smiling. John asked him what had happened.
What's the matter, Elliot?
Nothing.
Was the ball too high?
No.
Maybe it was too low?
No, it was right in over the middle.
Well, then why didn't you bust it?
I was afraid I'd kill somebody.
What are you laughing at?
I was thinking of a movie show I seen in Cincinnati.
Oh, you was. Well, that show and that lap will cost you 50.
I don't care. You can find me all you want to. I'm broke anyway.
Up in the room that night, I told him he better cut out that laughing stuff when we was getting trimmed or he never would have no payday at all. Then he got confidential.
Payday wouldn't do me no good. When I'm all squared up with a club and begin to have a payday, I'll get $100 at a time and I'll only owe that to some of you guys. I wish we could win the pennant and get in that World Series, though. Then I'd get a bunch at a time.
What would you do with a bunch of dough?
Ooh. Don't tell nobody, sport, but if I ever get $500 at once, I'm going to get married.
Oh, and who's the lucky girl?
She's a girl up in Muskegon, and you're right when you call her lucky.
You don't like yourself much, do you?
I got a reason to like myself. You'd like yourself, too, if you could hit him like me.
Well, you didn't show me no hitting today.
I couldn't hit because I was laughing so hard.
Oh, what was you laughing at?
I was laughing at that pitcher. He thought he had something and he didn't have nothing.
He had enough to whiff you with.
He didn't have nothing. I was afraid if I busted one off him, they'd can him.
Well, I guess you know what you're doing, Elliot.
Why, sure. Oh, I wish you could see that bird.
A what bird?
This dame that's nuts about me.
Good looker, huh?
No, she ain't no bear for looks. They ain't nothing about her for a guy to rave over until you get to hear her sing. Oh, she sure can holler some.
What kind of a voice she got?
A bear.
Oh, no. I mean, does she sing baritone or ordinary?
I don't know, but she's got the loudest voice I ever hear on a woman. She's pretty near got me beat.
Oh, can you sing?
Just listen to me. Darling,
Hey, Elliot, pipe down, will you? It's after 12. You'll wake up everybody in the hotel.
Hey, pipe down! Shut up or I'll call the police!
Quiet!
Hey, Elliot, you better cut it out. You're going to get the dicks up here. Hey, see, what did I tell you? That's them now. Cut it out, Elliot, will you? You'll get us thrown out of the hotel.
I thought so. It's you again. You stop that this instant, you hear me? If I hear another sound out of you, the whole club will be canned out of the hotel.
Huh? Is he saying that to me?
That's all, Mr. Sparks. He won't sing no more.
Won't I? I'll sing all I want to.
You won't sing here.
Cut it out now, Elliot.
Okay, there ain't room for my voice in here anyways. I'll go outdoors and sing.
You stop that this instant. I'll have you arrested. You can't do that in my hotel.
Well, I sure was sorry I asked him that last question. The guests made a holler the next morning. The hotel people tells John he'll either have to let Elliot stay somewhere else or the whole bunch will have to move. John just about made up his mind of releasing Elliot when he busts a three-bagger that afternoon and then steals home to win the game. Well, you couldn't can him after that, could you? So John gets him a room somewheres, and I am relieved of his company for the next week. A couple of days later in Chi, he starts up a conversation with me.
Hello, Chuck. How you getting along without me, huh?
Oh, fine, fine. What are you doing with yourself nights now? Not singing no more, huh?
No, I borrow some dough somewheres and go to the picture shows.
Yeah, you must be stuck on them picture shows.
Yeah, I like the ones where they kill people because I want to learn how to do it. I may have that job someday.
Don't pick on me.
Oh, you never can tell who I'll pick on.
Well, maybe it's better than your singing.
Oh, I sing too on the way home from the pictures. I gotta keep my voice in shape. If I ever get enough dough to get married, the gal and me will go out singing to get it.
Out where?
Out in the vaudeville circuit.
Well, if her voice is like yours, you'll be wasting money if you travel around. Just stay up in Muskegon and we'll hear you all right. Well, we went to Boston and John put Elliot in my room again. Elliot had promised to behave, and for a while he did. He didn't even sing no more. I was beginning to think that maybe the nut had settled down finally. Until I come into the hotel lobby a couple of nights later, intending to hit the hay. The elevator boy had went for a drink or something, and there was two old ladies already waiting in the car when I stepped in.
Dear, I do hope that boy comes soon.
Right along after me comes Elliot.
Hey, where's the boy that's supposed to run this car, huh?
I guess he'll be right back. Must have gone for a drink or something.
Well, I can't wait. I'm too sleepy.
Huh? Hey!
What are you doing, young man?
Hey, Elliot, you want to get us thrown out of the hotel again?
I'm going to run it myself. Oh, where's that cigarette? Oh, I guess this must be it, huh?
Hey, you can't do that. The manager's liable to get sore.
Let us off the third floor, please.
Sorry, madam, but this is an express and we don't stop at no third floor. Oh, boy, this is
Hey, now, wait a minute, Elliot. You got to cut it out.
You leave me
alone. Okay, you know what you're doing, all right?
I sure do.
We're going to be killed. Oh, do make him stop it.
Boy, this sure is fun.
Hey, Elliot, cut it out, will you? The old lady, you're going to kill somebody.
This is a locomotive.
Cut it out.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Express locomotive, fire her up.
Don't never ask me how many times we went up and down. The old ladies fainted on the third trip, and I guess I was about as near to it as I'll ever get. Yeah, the elevator boy and the bellhops and the waiters and the night clerk, and everybody was jumping around the lobby and screaming, but no one seemed to know how to stop us. Finally, on about the tenth trip, I guess, he slowed down and stepped out at the fifth floor.
Well, I guess I'll go to my room now. Gosh, that sure was fun.
When we brought the old women to, the hotel people was sure going to fire the club right out. But John had a good standing with the proprietor, and he fixed it up to let us stay. But it was in New York the week after that that the nut really started to give me insomnia. The first night, he comes in the room at 1 o'clock in the morning. Comes over to the bed and starts shaking me.
Hey, hey, Chuck.
Hey, what do you want?
Give me a key to the room.
You got a key.
No, I ain't.
Well, you must have had a key or you couldn't have got in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, for the next time, don't you wake me up at 1 o'clock in the morning and start asking me for keys, which you got all the time.
Okay.
There's a letter for you on the dresser.
Yeah?
It's addressed in the girl's writing.
Yeah, it's from her.
Hey, what are you tearing it up for? You ain't even read it.
Because I feel like it.
Oh, had a quarrel?
No, but she can't tell me nothing. I don't know, I know already. Girls always write the same junk. I got one from her in Pittsburgh, but I didn't read it.
I guess you ain't so stuck on her.
Of course I'm stuck on her. If I wasn't, do you think I'd be going around with this bunch and getting insulted all the time? I'm sticking here because of that series, though, so I can get hooked.
Oh, do you think maybe you'd settle down if you was married?
Settle down? Sure I'd settle down. I'd be so happy that I wouldn't have time to look for no excitement.
Well, I sure hope so. You've been getting too much of it lately.
I can take it.
Yeah, I guess you can. Well, how about turning out them lights and going to sleep? Because I can't.
No, I gotta think a little bit more.
What about?
I heard New York's gonna win the pennant.
Well, they will if someone else don't. But what of it?
I'm going to play with New York so as I can get the World Series, though.
Oh, yeah? How are you going to get away from this club?
Just watch me. I'll be with New York before this series is over.
How do you figure on doing that?
I ain't talking.
Okay. Are you through thinking?
Not yet.
Well, how about turning out them lights and thinking in the dark?
I never thought of that, but I'll try it.
That's fine. Now you can think all you want to. Well, with the nut sitting there in the dark and thinking, I finally went to sleep and forgot all about his screwball idea going to New York. And I thought nothing more about it for the next 2 days, until I really seen him go after the job, and the way he goes after it was sure original. It was the top of the ninth, and New York and us is tied up 2 runs apiece. So John sends Elliot up with the bases choked. Well, the nut doesn't go right up to the plate. He walks over to the New York bench and calls McBride out. Mac tells us about it afterward.
Mr. McBride! Hey, Mr. McBride!
Yeah, you want to see me, sonny?
Are you Mr. McBride?
That's right. What's on your mind?
Well, Mr. McBride, I just want to tell you that I can bust up this game right here.
Go ahead. But be careful he don't whiff you.
If I whiff, will you get me on your club? I said if I whiff, will you get me on your club? I heard you're going to win the pennant, and I want to play with you.
Sure. Just come up anytime. Well, it's a new one anyway.
Okay. I'm going to whiff then.
Sure.
By this time, John is hollering about the delay.
Hey, Elliot. You're holding up the game. Come on. Get back here.
So up goes Elliot and gives the worst burlesque on trying to hit that you ever seen. The pitcher throws one a mile outside and high, and the bug swings like it was right over the heart. Then the pitcher throws one at him and ducks out of the way, but he swings just the same. That pitcher must have been wise by this time, because he pitches one so far outside that the chief almost has to go to the coach's box after it. But Elliot swings on that one, too.
Strike three. You're out.
Well, we got beat in the 11th, and when we went in a dress, there's Elliot with his street clothes on. Soon as he seen me and John coming, he says,
I gotta see McBride.
That's a fine exhibition you put on there. What do you mean by... Who did you say you're going to see?
McBride. I'm gonna go with New York.
Well, that's fine. That's great. You go ahead and don't you come back.
I don't aim to. Mr. McBride said he'd give me a job.
Oh, he did. Well, that's just ducky. I suppose that's why you whipped, eh? So they could beat us and then you'd get paid off.
I ain't saying nothing.
No, I guess not. Now, you beat it out of here. You hear that, Elliot? You beat it out of here, and the sooner the better.
Okay, I just thought I'd tell you so as you could have noticed.
Beat it.
Okay, I guess I won't see you tonight, Chuck. So long.
Well, what are you going to do, John?
There's just one thing to do, and I'm going to do it.
What's that?
I'm going to get waivers on them from everybody and sell them to Atlanta. That's what I'll do. What's more, I don't care if they pay me for them or not.
At night, my roomie blows in about 9, and he don't look so spry. He sits down on a bed and starts with his thinking, and I give him the letter from John.
What's that?
It's a letter. What you think it is?
I guess I know what's in it. She can't tell me anything I don't know.
Hey, wait a minute, Elliot. You better not tear up that one. There's news in that you'll be interested in, I think.
Yeah? What makes you think I'll be interested?
Well, read it and see.
It says I've been sold to Atlanta and there's a ticket for the train.
That's tough, kid.
Yeah, I guess it is. I never figured they'd let me go.
But why should you care? I thought you was going to get on a New York club.
No, I got turned down cold. McBride said he wouldn't have me in his club. He says he'd had Charlie Faust and that was enough for him.
What are you going to do now?
I don't know. I guess I'm going to sell this ticket to Atlanta and go back to Muskegon where I belong.
Yeah, I'll help you pack.
No, I came into this league with this suit of clothes and a collar. They can have the rest of it.
Huh?
I don't care what they do with this stuff. They can have it. They can have it all.
Hey, what's the matter, Elliot? Are you sick or something?
No series dough for me. And no wedding bells. My girl'll die when she hears of it. And I was counting on it.
Oh, brace up, boy. The best thing that you can do is go to Atlanta and try hard. You'll be up here again next year.
You can't tell me where to go. I'll go where I please. And I'm liable to take you with me.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, okay, kid. Okay, just like you say.
I'm going now, but before I do, you better watch out. I'm liable to do something really bad.
You take it easy, Elliot. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, what are you going to do?
There.
Hey, what did you want to do that for? Breaking the looking glass with your fist?
Because I felt like it. Now I feel better.
Well, boys, my sleep was broke up for the rest of the season. It might have been because I was used to sleeping in all kinds of racket and excitement and couldn't stand for the quiet after he'd went. Or it might have been because I kept thinking about him and feeling sorry for him. Anyway, I guess it must have got me because when we was dividing the city series, though, I suggested to the boys that we give a divvy to poor old Elliot.
What?
To the nut, you mean?
What for?
You must be nuts yourself.
Well, fellas, he never reported to Atlanta, and he's probably busted, and a bunch of money might make things all right for him and a songbird he was going to marry.
Well, so what?
Now, look, boys, look. I never told you this, but he cried when he left New York. All the time his heart was set on getting married on the series, though, and now the poor guy is probably starving someplace, and his girl probably won't have nothing to do with him. And all because you guys won't give a break to another guy. What the heck? What's cutting in one more guy mean?
All right, Chuck. Stop it or I'll break out in tears. Go ahead. Give him his divvy.
If it'll make you feel better, Chuck, it's all right with me, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine, fellas. That's fine. I'm sure poor Elliot and his girl will sure be grateful. Now they can get married and both be as happy as larks. So John sent Elliot a check for a full share. Then along comes this letter from some friend of his up there, and also a note from him. I'll read them both to you, and you can see for yourself how things stand. This here is the first letter from his friend. It says, Dear Sir, they have got poor Elliot locked up, and they are going to take him to the asylum in Kalamazoo. He thanks you for the check. When the poor boy come back here, he found that his girl was married to Joe Bishop, who runs a soda fountain. She had wrote to him all about it, but he did not read her letters. The news drove him crazy, and he was walking around the streets singing Silver Threads Among the Gold at the top of his voice. He wants to thank you again for the money. Yours truly, Jim... I can't make out the last name, but it don't make no difference. I'll read you Elliot's note. Old Rumi. Well, I am on my way now, and I hope they got good curveball pitches where I'm going. I sure can bust them curves. Can I sport? Yours, Elliot. Well, that's all of it, fellas. Although, personally, I don't believe what the letters say about Elliot being taken to a bughouse. And I'll tell you why. They couldn't get nobody to room with him.
Well, that was Ring Lardner's My Rummy. Now, next week, we're going to have another hilarious story about a basketball player entitled The Cockeyed Wonder. Well, see you all next week, fellas. So long, Bill.
Thanks, Randy.
This has been another visit to the Sportsman's Club for a favorite sports story of Grantland Rice. Today's story, My Rummy, was dramatized for radio by Ben Kagan. Our actors were Bill Gwynn, Gilbert Mack, Santos Ortega, Jack McBride, Jim Bowles, Sam Raskin, Dayton Allen, and Ethel Browning. George Crook was at the organ, and Grantland Rice was here in person. The production was under the direction of Herbert Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.